I'm Norman Crusoe.
Steven, it's about time we got some money for advertisements on this podcast. What do you think?
I'm Steven Duncan. Fine, Norm. You know, it's been a while since I whored myself out. But here we go. Topic one, sponsored by The Weather Channel.
And this is the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast, Episode 6. Steven, we've come a long way.
We really have. Do you remember all those many, many moons ago at Episode 2 when we thought we wouldn't make it?
That's right, I do remember that. But look how far we've come.
We've matured so much.
Well, on this episode, we're talking about the new Xbox 360 dashboard update.
We talk about Final Fantasy 13 2.
Oh, a sequel.
Yes.
And our main topic, the 50 worst game names of all time. We go through the list and give our comments.
Ooh, sounds like fun.
And by the way, this episode is completely unscripted. We are note-free.
For the first time, I don't have literally 15 pages of stuff that I'm going to want to talk about within 2 minutes.
That's right. So it could get interesting. We could start trailing off and talk about cream cheese or something.
We really could. And that conversation of cream cheese can get very dirty.
That's right. Well, let's get to our first topic. Steven, the new Xbox 360 dashboard update was rolled out to Xbox Live members Tuesday. And the new update features an update for the Kinect sensor, new streaming TV services, and a visual overhaul. What are your thoughts on this update?
When I saw it, being a primary 360 user, I was kind of shocked and I felt, as somebody that tries to keep track of gaming news, I felt out of touch. I'm like, I didn't know about it. But then
really?
I saw it. Yeah, really. I didn't hear, for some reason, I didn't read anything about it. And I check, you know, gaming sites, you know, at least once every day. And I had to, like, figure out how to maneuver around it. That kind of perturbed me a little bit because I'm an old codger and I'm set in my ways. And I like the last one. And after playing with it, I kind of stopped caring about it because it didn't offer me anything that immediately struck me as beneficial.
Well, it's got some new TV services, like they're trying to get HBO, and they said they'd have YouTube, but they don't, which upset me. But it really shows like the Xbox is kind of becoming an entertainment center. It's not so much a game console anymore.
Right, and that's a good way to go. You know, you are kind of in the last leg of your life cycle, so let's try to change things up. I understand that point, but for someone who doesn't watch TV religiously, the new TV streaming services, though cool, don't really benefit me too much. So I'm not like, you know, jumping out of my skirt or anything.
Well, I was hoping for the YouTube because I don't have cable, so getting YouTube on my Xbox would be wonderful. And they said they would have it on the update, and it's still not out yet. So
yeah,
but I think it's a nice update. It looks nice. It's a new direction they're going. They've got apps now. So
yeah, like it looks okay. I just I don't know. We'll forget that he even updated recently. I'm telling you.
You can't go back.
No. Norm, Final Fantasy 14 subscribers will soon have to start paying a monthly fee again. The game has been free to play for the past year or so due to a horrible launch. Rates start at $9.99 a month. Should Square Enix abandon the MMO market, and why was the launch such a disaster?
I think they should kind of give up on the MMO market because this is the second MMO they've tried to do. Final Fantasy XI was probably the most mediocre MMO I've ever played. And there's potential there because it's Final Fantasy, you know?
Yeah, it does have the branding. It does have something it can market itself on.
Yeah, but the launch was such a disaster, and I'm speaking purely on what I've heard because I didn't want to buy this game. I didn't want anything to do with it because I played Final Fantasy XI, but I heard the interface was terrible. I heard the game was buggy. It was hard to do pretty much anything in the game, just like even simple tasks to do. It was really hard to do.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate that you do have that mediocre game in Final Fantasy XI, which was, everything about it was pretty mediocre, including, you know, how much it was pushed to the public, how much it sold, everything about the game. And then you have a follow-up that, you know, usually when you have a follow-up to something, you learn from your mistakes and you try to build off of it.
Uh-huh.
But this completely didn't, had, you know, the terrible launch and all the bugs and glitches and things like that. And now you have a game that you've tried fixing, which is below the standards you set with an already mediocre, you know, bar level. And then, you know, you're telling people, hey, pay for this a month.
Well, here's the thing. First impressions are everything. And it did not get a good first impression. And when you make the game free to play for almost a year because you're embarrassed to charge people for the game, I think you should just stop making these kinds of games.
Yeah, you need to quit. Hopefully they learn from this. Hopefully they jump out and just let the MMO experts stick with the MMOs.
I really hope so. Executive producer of The Last Guardian, I'm going to kill this pronunciation, Steven. Yoshifusa Hayama.
Did better than I would.
Has left Sony to join Bossa Studios, a developer of social media games. The highly anticipated game from Team Ico has also had rumors of others leaving the company. Is it time to worry about the project?
So just a quick touch. The other that was rumored to leave the company is, and we're I'm going to get this one wrong too, was actually the creator, Fumito Ueda. Completely butchered that.
You're all right.
Yeah, he bailed. He's still working with Sony on a freelance basis, and that he's committed to finishing The Last Guardian. But you have the executive producer, and then you have the creator leaving. And then on top of that, Sony has a gag order on this subject. So they don't want anybody talking about it. Sounds kind of suspicious to me, and that's when I start to worry for the game project.
Well, I'm confident they're going to finish the game. It'll be delayed. It's already been delayed.
Right, because they wanted it out before the end of the year this year.
Yeah, and it was announced, I think, 2007 was when they first gave hints to it. So it's been a while. It's disheartening to hear that all these people are leaving this, because this game looks really good. I mean,
yeah,
the games they put out, Shadow of the Colossus was good.
Mm-hmm.
Ico was good.
Mm-hmm. So I am disheartened by this because we talk about the rehashing of things, and Team Ico kind of does put out fresher ideas than most, and they lend themselves towards games as art.
Yes.
So to hear that some big names on the project are trying to disassociate themselves, that's really disheartening, not just for the game, but for the gaming industry, when people like that are trying to, you know, walk away. And I don't know. And the fact that they're leaving for social media games.
Facebook.
Yeah. Farmville. Games as art. It's happening, I'm telling you.
The Last Farmville.
Yes. It'll have giant, it'll take up your whole screen, 30-story tall monsters that you have to hit with a pickaxe. So, Norm, David Jaffe has stated he wants to avoid having an online passcode for the next installment of Twisted Metal. He has also said he understands that Sony may require him to do it. Do you think he'll get his wish?
No. I don't, and I think that sucks because I hate online passcodes. They are a horrible thing, and because I have experienced firsthand the pain that online passcodes can cause.
Yeah, it. That's why I kind of wanted to look up this topic. I knew you hated the topic of online passcodes. And it's online passcodes are kind of, they are terrible. Like, you should let people play online.
Yeah, it basically, if you buy the game used, you're not getting the full game.
Right.
And I think that's wrong. And developers will be like, oh, well, you know, it hurts sales when people buy the game used. And
well, that's the chief argument. And to be honest, I actually buy everything brand new because I don't like the sales model of buying a used game. And so the online pass thing doesn't affect me directly,
uh-huh.
But I understand both sides. There was a time where I was buying everything used because, you know, you penny pinch. You have to make sure, you know, you sometimes $5 does make a big difference. But, you know, as consumers, we have to remember, you know, we have to actually support not the store that we're buying them from, but support the actual people who are making them.
See, and I just think it's greedy by developers to do that because you're kind of splitting your fan base up by doing this, and you're just going to lose more sales.
You're right. It is a terrible, like, it's not a good thing to do to your fans and say, look, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to give you the full gaming experience. But it's that business model versus how to deal with it is something I think we're going to be hashing out until one of the two sides fall in this big eruption of, oh my God.
So in conclusion, David Jaffe doesn't want an online passcode, but Sony will probably require him to get one.
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what the bullet point is for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our first four topics. When we come back, our main topic, and this is going to be a good one, I'm telling you. The 50 worst game names of all time. We go through the list. Coming up next.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. All right, Steven, it's time for our main topic. GameRevolution.com posted a list of the 50 worst game names of all time. And we found the list and we thought, you know, this is pretty funny, some of these game names. So I didn't go over every name, but we're just going to do a rundown of the list and give our comments. And we want to see what the listeners think, too. And maybe they have a game name that they think should be on this list. Once again, this is from GameRevolution.com. All right, Steven, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, number 50 for the Nintendo DS, Frogger, Helmet Chaos.
I didn't know frogs and, like, the mortal enemy of frogs were helmets. That's good to know.
Well, I don't understand the chaos. Helmet,
no.
Like, chaos of helmets?
I don't know, you capture a frog under a helmet. That's the only thing I can assume.
Okay.
So, 49, Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist.
Yeah, apparently there was a game about Social Revolution or whatever the Book of Zeitgeist was. I don't pay attention to that mess.
It's German, Zeitgeist.
Oh, okay. So, that completely explains it.
Yeah. Number 48, Twin Eagle, Revenge Joe's Brother.
Who's Joe? Who's his brother, and why should I care?
It's such an odd name, and apparently the helicopter is named Revenge Joe.
Really?
Yeah, that according to the game. But who would name a helicopter Revenge Joe?
I thought you were supposed to name it something like Lucy or something. And whatever.
Whatever.
47 is Jumpman.
Jumpman. Okay, I'm surprised this wasn't copyrighted by Nintendo. Came out in 1983. Mario's first name was Jumpman.
Yeah, apparently jumping is a big superpower now. Ooh.
Yeah. 46, ASO, Armored Scrum Object.
I swear to God, when I saw this, I thought it said Armored Scrotum Object.
What armored? It does sound dirty,
doesn't it? Well,
this next one might be even dirtier.
Yeah, number 45, Wild Woody.
Wild Woody. In the cover, just to give our listeners a visual, it's a pencil running with a stick of dynamite in his hand.
It also, this is complete coincidence. I have certain body parts that I have named Wild Woody.
Number 44, Techromancer.
Sounds like you're going to make out with a robot. And I might go check this out. What system is this for? Dreamcast? Doing it.
I'm going to defend this game a little bit. I've played this game, and it's actually not bad.
Oh,
it's a good game. It's just it does have a weird name.
Okay. Are robots making out?
It's a fighting game.
Okay, that's a bust for me. I'm not checking it out. Number 43, Princess Tomato in Salad Kingdom.
Tomato.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds dirty, too. A lot of these sounds dirty, like Princess Tomato in the salad. I don't know, man.
Steven, are you ready to have your mind blown?
Yes.
Number 42, Beyond the Beyond.
Oh, God. I just have brain matter come out of my ear. What's Beyond the Beyond? Isn't that like, you know, circular logic? You just keep going and going. When does the game end?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, let's see if I can read this one without getting tongue twisted. Silhouette Mirage, Reprogrammed Hope.
Reprogrammed Hope? Like they programmed it and it didn't work out, so they reprogrammed it?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that one. It's odd. Reprogrammed Hope? Yeah, anyway.
Number 40, Unjammer Lammy. Sorry, Jammer Lammy.
But it sounds like you're saying un jammer lammy. Un, the prefix un, the negative connotation. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. That's why no one played it.
Mm-hmm.
Negative connotation. It happened. Number 39, Pen Pen. Trill Salon.
What?
Exactly. I couldn't make that word up if I tried.
Trill Salon? Pen Pen. Yeah. Very, I'm guessing it's about a penguin. Very original.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like you could say like it's for a giraffe, Jer-Jer.
Yeah, it's really ironic that I mean it sounds like Pen Pen Trill Salon sounds like something like a word that somebody that was completely tweaking would come up with, and that penguin on that cover looks tweaked out of his mind. He is tripping balls. Look at that.
Number 38. Spanky's Quest.
That sounds like something I might do later tonight. All right.
It's got a monkey on the cover. Spank the monkey. Yeah. Oh, very, this is very good.
Fantastic. Number 37, Kakoma Knight in Busyland.
Busyland?
Busyland. Really? Is that a typo? That looks like a typo. That has to be a typo. It's not a typo, is it?
It's not.
Oh, my God.
Number 36, Muscle. It's a M-U-S-C-L-E. It's an acronym.
It is? What's the acronym stand for? Does anybody know? Is it anywhere?
Millions of unusual small creatures lurking everywhere.
Ew. It just sounds kind of nasty. Sounds like you got a bug infestation.
This next one's even nastier.
35, Sticky Balls.
Sticky Balls.
Sounds like a bad medical condition.
I need some lotion.
For my sticky balls.
Sticky balls.
Oh, it's for the Gizmondo, too. That explains it.
34, 70s robot anime Geppi X, the super boosted armor.
And the name was too long. I would feel tired before I played the game.
Yeah, and you get lost in the title. You're just like, okay, it's in the 70s. It's a robot anime. It's got armor.
And it's super boosted.
Super boosted.
Fantastic. Number 33, Punky Skunk.
Oh, jeez. This is like... It's like those bad mascots everyone kept putting out. Like, did they really think a skunk would be, like, their company's spokesperson? Like, this would be the next Mario?
Yeah, during that time where PlayStation was trying to look for its mascot, the most successful skunk was Pepe Le Pew, and it's not, I mean, he doesn't even have good press.
Nope.
Yeah.
Number 32, Klonoa, Door to Phantom Isle. Great game, by the way. Klonoa series is really good.
Yeah, it's a good series. Is this, pardon my history, is this the first one?
I believe it is, yes.
It is? Why give it a subtitle? Just leave it at Klonoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Silliness. Number 31. Awesome Possum kicks Dr. Machino's butt.
He's awesome, man. That awesome is, possum.
It is. This is poetry. This speaks to a generation.
It's like a six-year-old wrote the title of this game.
Yeah, a six-year-old Sylvia Platt.
All right, number 30, Ketchumen.
I'm glad you tried saying that because I didn't get it. Ketchumen? Yeah, I didn't. Is that how you? Someone needs to email us on how to actually pronounce this because this is going to haunt my dreams.
Ketchumen.
Yeah. World soccer winning 11-5 final evolution.
Longest soccer title of all time.
Yeah. And the cover is not flattering. I'm looking straight at this guy's taint.
Number 28. Panic Restaurant. Another good game, by the way.
You keep up with all this really stuff that I never even heard of this, but it really sounds like a restaurant I might go out to eat to next week.
It's a good game. It's a pretty rare game, but yeah, Panic Restaurant.
Number 27, Ninja Hamster.
Ninja, and just to give you guys a visual, the hamster. I swear the hamster is doing a Sieg Heil.
Oh, Lord, he is.
Yeah.
He looks angry while he's doing it.
And that's the biggest foot I've ever seen. He's like busting through the wall.
Yeah, depth perception really didn't exist on the Commodore 64.
Number 26, Iggy's Wrecking Balls.
This is actually the other name I have for another body part on me.
Actually, another decent game, I gotta say. I liked this game.
This is, that's Iggy's Wrecking. Number 25, Booby Kids.
Oh. Booby Kids. Oh, I don't even know what to say about that.
I need to find screenshots of this because I can just imagine like little super deformed graphics with this just giant titties just bouncing up, down, up, down. You have little titty slap moves and stuff.
Either it's a bad translation or people just aren't aware about, kids and boobies and
I don't know. Kids shouldn't have boobies. I hope I don't get arrested for that statement.
Number 24, Yo Noid.
I think I've played this like once.
Decent game.
Yeah, this was based off of Domino's, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't understand the yo in the beginning though. Noid.
I don't like for the longest time, I honestly thought his name was Yo Noid.
His name's just the Noid.
That game ruined my childhood. Number 23, Lee Trevino's Fighting Golf.
Yeah, golf just got hardcore.
Oh yeah, I can imagine this.
Let me tell this. I look for a lot of Nintendo games out in the wild, like at garage sales. I see this game pretty much every time I go out.
Really?
It's very common.
You know what? Actually sitting down and thinking about it, as somebody who has played golf, I kind of understand it because when I'm playing with people and I shoot a 13 on a par 3, yes, that has happened, I feel like hurting somebody. Makes sense.
Exactly. 22, Astrofang, Super Machine.
Okay, so I'm confused more about the screenshot. It's a car with two hoods. Am I counting that right?
Yeah.
Two hoods in a middle section?
Yeah.
It's like a tuning fork on wheels.
Why not just call it Astrofang?
Because you have to show dominance in the super machine.
I guess so.
Like, dude, I'm trying to defend it. I'm not saying I'm doing a very good job of it. Number 21, Divine Divinity?
Oh, that's terrible.
Maybe they had a case of echolalepsy. Lalepsy.
Number 20, Eggs of Steel, Charlie's Excellent Adventure.
Holy puns, Batman. I love that. That's awesome. Eggs of Steel?
It was hard for me to even say that title.
Oh, dude. That's done by Atlas.
Atlas made that?
Oh, my God. No,
they just published it.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't
say that. It's like they just published it. Okay.
Okay. Free pass.
Okay.
Oh, I love this one. Number 19, Barkley, Shut Up and Jam.
In Your Face. Yeah. Charles Barkley is actually a pretty funny guy.
He is. Charles Barkley is the reason I got into the NBA because I wanted to see what dumb mess he was going to say next.
but I probably the I worst it, the worst basketball title ever.
Yeah, and I find it really ironic that the game named after Barkley is called Shut Up and Jam. One of the most wordy people in the NBA, yeah. The biggest mouths, wants us to be quiet and play basketball.
Number 18, Tongue of the Fat Man.
Oh my God, that sounds like a horror movie.
Well, the cover is horrific.
I don't get it. Is that a tongue? I don't. Or is it one of those upside down chin things?
It's an upside down chin thing. Oh, no. Oh, God. It's like a. It plays with your mind. It looks like a nose with eyeballs in it.
Oh, Jesus, it is. Oh, my. I'm scrolling down now because I have to get some sleep tonight, and I may not after seeing that image. Number 17, Tactics Ogre. Let us cling together.
I think this might be a case of a bad translation, or well, it could be the right translation, but people got to understand, you know, the name of a Japanese game isn't always going to work in the United States.
No, it's really not. It was probably some broken English, and because it really does sound like a Tactics Ogre orgy game.
Number 16, Roscoe McQueen, Firefighter Extreme.
Oh, wow. This dude has a big jaw. Like, no, that's hard to say, like, on a podcast because you can't see it. But he's really happy to fight that fire. Look at him. He's so happy.
Pretty well, he's got an extreme name, Roscoe McQueen.
I'm going to name my son that.
Excellent.
I might name my daughter that. Roscoe McQueen Duncan. That sounds awesome.
Do it.
Done. 15, Toe Ball number 1.
Toe Ball number 1.
Yeah.
Well,
I have...
Why not just call it Toe Ball?
Yeah, I haven't heard. I got my words mixed up. I've heard of this game before years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood the number 1 ever.
Yep.
Doesn't make sense.
Number 14, Wargasm. I think everybody knows the pun here. We get it. War. Yeah. Orgasm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on.
Number 13. Oh, Jesus. Golf Magazine presents 36 Great Holes starring Fred Couples.
Oh, my God. Could you have a worse name for a... I mean, this is worse than Fighting Golf.
It is.
At least you knew, like, okay, it's a golf game, but this could be anything.
It could. Looking at the cover plus the title, it looks like it's going to be a magazine, doesn't it? It looks like it'll be a quarterly.
36 Great Holes starring Fred Couples.
Poor guy.
Like, if you took out Golf Magazine Presents, if the game was just 36 Great Holes starring Fred Couples.
Then it sounds like a Tudor video.
Yeah.
Oh, good luck with this next one.
Number 12, Xexies. Xexies.
Spell it, yeah.
X-E-X-Y-Z.
Xexies. Oh, man. Is there some missing letters? Is that what it is?
I don't know. They couldn't have picked the worst letters in the alphabet to use. I mean,
I would feel bad trying to read it just on the screen because it's all done in vector graphics. It's seizure inducing.
I tell you what, you use that in a Scrabble game, you would get like 3,000 points.
Well, if you use that in a Scrabble game, you'd get called for cheating.
Yeah.
And then when people see the historical context, they'd flip the board over and quit. Number 11. No one can stop Mr. Domino.
No one can stop Mr. Domino. I don't even remember this game. But I think just it's one of those things, once again, why do you have No One Can Stop in there? Just call it Mr. Domino.
Yeah. Oh, well, the guy looks happy. He has a smiley face. It's cute.
All right, number 10, Totally Rad.
Because, you know, Somewhat Rad just wouldn't have sold.
The game outright lies to you in the title because I've played this game. It's not Totally Rad.
Oh, is it Totally Suck?
Totally Suck, dude. It's an early 90s game. They probably... Totally Rad. Yeah, all the kids are saying it.
Yeah, all the kids and their flat tops and stuff.
Yeah.
Number 9, James Pond II, codename Robocod.
Oh, God.
RoboCod sounds exceptionally dirty.
So, is it a RoboCop game or is it a James Bond spy game?
Maybe they just did dope and went, hey man, what if we combine Bond and RoboCop. Yeah.
Well, here's,
and then they ate Cheetos.
Here's the thing. It sounds pretty extreme, you know, RoboCop, James Bond, but you look at the fish on the cover. He's just this happy little fish with penguins all around.
Yeah. Big old googly eyes, too. That was the catch. Yeah. It was the googly eyes.
You put googly eyes on anything, man. Makes it funny.
It makes it
better, too.
Yeah, it does.
Number 8, Cyberdeck.
Cyberdeck?
Cyberdeck.
Like, I'm trying to... I don't understand what this is, because I see people on wheelless skateboards.
Mm-hmm.
Cyberdeck? Maybe they control it with their minds.
Very confusing. Woo! Just confusing.
Very much so. Let's not... No. Stop that. You fail at English. Number 7. Nuts and milk.
Nuts.
Aside from just the dirty annotation with this, it's just... I've never had any nut in any milk and went, man, this is a good kind of combination. I think I have this as a snack every day.
Number 6. Okay, I'm going to butcher this. Huygens Disclosure?
This is just the episode where we just screw up everybody's name. That's what
this is. Yeah, I think it's a Dutch name.
That's...
Huygens Disclosure.
Yeah, what's he... Like, it sounds like, I don't know, an article in a science magazine.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, that's... Number 5. Whew. Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
Oh, Bad Dudes. That's a classic game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a bad enough dude, Norm?
To save the president?
I don't think I am. Especially not versus the Dragon Ninja.
And then when you save him, let's go eat some hamburgers.
Because that's the American pastime, man.
It
you
is.
Save the president, you just get hamburgers, man. Fresh off the grill.
Number 4. Pesterminator, the Western Exterminator.
Okay, so you get a couple bonus points for somehow rhyming a made-up word in Pesterminator.
Yeah.
No. This would be a perfect game for, like, if you were trying to sell bug repellent, I guess. Maybe that's what they did. Maybe they huffed it before this and was like, I got a good name.
There you go.
That just explains a lot of these names, though. Number 3, Mobile Suit Gundam. Gundam versus Zeta Gundam.
Oh, God. Okay. Real talk, I love Gundam. I love the Gundam series.
Yep.
So I understand Gundam versus Zeta Gundam, but don't put Mobile Suit Gundam in there. Just call it Gundam versus Zeta Gundam.
But Norm, how will they know that it's Mobile Suit Gundam?
I don't know. I could have thought it was Power Rangers. Power Rangers,
actually,
Gundam versus Zeta Gundam.
Yeah. And they all form. Yeah, it works.
Number 2, if it moves, shoot it.
That's instructions.
Yeah.
But that's not... That actually sounds like the precursor to all... Like, that sounds like a gaming design tip that all the, you know, recent game designers have in all the third and first person shooters. Like, if it moves, shoot it. You don't have allies.
They could have made the subtitle of the game, use the D-pad to move around. I mean...
press X to shoot.
Yeah.
That's going to be my next breakthrough game. Press X to shoot.
Here we go.
Number 1. You've been waiting for it, Norm. I've been waiting for it. And the faithful podcasters have been waiting for it. Number 1. Irritating stick.
I'm a little disappointed with the number 1. But yeah. It is an odd name.
It is, and it's kind of funny, and it's... I think this will be probably the 5th dick joke in this particular list.
Yes. Your dick jokes.
I know. That's all I have. I'm not a very creative person.
Well,
yeah.
I've actually played this game, and it's very unique. That's all I can say.
What do you do? I don't understand.
You have to navigate this maze, and you have to make sure the stick doesn't, like, touch the walls.
So it's like a PlayStation version of Operation.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to describe it. It's, I think it's a bad game name, because if you put irritating stick in your title, people are going to know, okay, this game's probably annoying and I don't want to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, especially since you're holding the stick.
Yeah.
I thought you would, like, go around and, like, just press it up against people and they get pissed off at you. Once again, I'm not very creative.
All right, I'm going to say my number one was James Pond 2, codename RoboCod.
I'm still a fan of Sticky Balls.
Well, that wraps up the 50 worst game names of all time. This was a list on GameRevolution.com, so go there to check it out. Coming up next, we'll do our final three topics. We'll wrap up, so stay tuned.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the final stretch of the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, are you ready?
I'm here, but I'm winded.
Okay. That list took a lot out of us.
It did.
But we're ready to finish.
I had to eat a protein bar in the break.
By the way, what are you having to eat after the podcast?
Country fried steak.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, it's been recently reported that Shigeru Miyamoto, the legendary creator of Mario and Zelda, will step down from his position to work on smaller game projects. However, Nintendo has since came and claimed the report was incorrect. Who should we believe, and how would Nintendo be affected should Miyamoto focus on smaller projects?
This is kind of the big, like, headlining story this week.
Yes.
And it's silly. It's incredibly silly because Shigeru Miyamoto, in an interview with Wired, I believe, says, yeah, I'm stepping down from my position to work on smaller projects, and that he's been walking around the office saying that I'm retiring. And then Nintendo tries to do a cover-up job. Oh, no, he's not doing that. So all the news sites have to backtrack and say, no, Nintendo said he's not, and then we look stupid. And
Right.
It was very, very silly in the way that it was handled.
It was kind of like a everybody panic thing.
Yes.
When it broke. But Miyamoto has actually officially said he's not retiring. He is not. He's not stepping down.
Okay, is that the latest development?
Yes. He is not stepping down. He said he was misquoted. He said, when he said, I'm going to retire, he used it as a motivational tool for the younger developers so they could be prepared when he leaves.
Okay, that's weird, but I can understand it could be a misquote, because either he's getting translated and there was a mistranslation, or he was actually speaking in English and Shigeru Miyamoto's not good with English.
Now, I will say this. I would love for him to do some smaller game projects.
Yes, that was actually what I was so excited for. Like, everybody did have that everybody panic moment, thinking, oh, he's not going to be the bigger projects. But you don't understand. If he goes to smaller projects, he can work on new stuff. He gave us Mario and Zelda, and pass it on to, like, another good developer. Go work on new IPs. I would love to see a new Shigeru Miyamoto intellectual property. I would be so stoked for that.
Yeah, from his twisted mind, he made a Devil World on the NES. That was never released in the US, but it was basically, you were in like a Pac-Man maze and there were Bibles around, and
yeah,
it was crazy. Well,
he has a fantastic creative mind, and it just seems like he's kind of gotten ball and chain to Mario and Zelda.
Yeah, break them loose.
Yeah, I want to see new stuff from him. The first Final Fantasy 13-2 review has surfaced. Japanese magazine Famitsu gave the game a perfect score, 40 out of 40 on their scale. Are you finally excited for a Final Fantasy spinoff?
I am somewhat excited, actually.
Really?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Famitsu is a big magazine.
Yes.
And they are notorious for being so tough on games. You know, it's very rare a game gets a perfect score from Famitsu.
Correct.
And from what I've heard, it sounds like they've fixed everything that was wrong with Final Fantasy XIII. And of course, you've played Final Fantasy XIII.
Top to bottom.
So Are you excited is the real question, because I haven't played 13 yet.
Okay. I actually put 13 back in my PS3 recently for two reasons. One, new television. I have to see how pretty it looks. And two, all this talk of JRPGs the past couple weeks. I'm like, well, let me put it in. And when I put it in, I kind of reminded myself that I played it enough. Like, I had no desire for the sequel. You know, like, I put it in, I went, oh, that's pretty, but I kind of don't want to put up with it right now. You know, so, like, I kind of already felt the 13 burnout. And, you know, now there's 13.2, and there's not... I mean, there is stuff that's being changed, but it's not, like, a dramatic overhaul. They are adding, like, other puzzles and, like, actual NPC interactment or whatever. But I don't know. I'm not terribly excited. The reason the Famitsu thing doesn't give me hope for this game, they gave the original Final Fantasy 13. It was either a 37 or a 39. I can't remember the exact number, but it was really high. Uh-huh. And after playing that game, it didn't deserve to be that high.
Okay.
That game had serious flaws. It should, like, on their scale of 40, a 37 or a 39, both of those are fantastic scores. I interpret that as you must go buy this game. And after playing this game, it wasn't worth that score. And, you know, they're keeping the same core thing and trying to improve on it, but I don't know how much they can improve on that.
Okay. Well, our final topic, the PlayStation Vita has made some questionable moves lately. Details of the proprietary memory card have uncovered high prices, and the ability to have multiple PSN accounts on a system has been questioned. Will Sony still have a chance to compete with Nintendo in the handheld market now?
It seems like Sony does this, don't you? Because this kind of happened with the PSP. When it first came out, everybody dogged the battery life.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, the PSP, I'm not going to tell you it's a great system, but it wasn't terrible. And if done right, could have, you know, might have competed with the DS.
Well, the biggest thing with the PSP that Sony messed up on was people hacked that thing to hell and back.
Absolutely.
And I think Sony lost a lot of money with that. And that's why they're doing all this proprietary memory cards now, because they want to deter hackers and modifiers.
The problem I have, though, with the proprietary memory cards are the prices.
Yes.
Because they're doing away with UMD, so I'm assuming that the games will go straight to your memory card. A 32... I have all my figures wrong. That's a problem without having notes. But their biggest thing, whether it be 32 or 64, is selling for over $100. You know, games, including portable games, take up a lot of space. You'll eat up 32 or 64 gigabytes in a heartbeat. And the you know, they're so expensive that that bugs me to no end.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the 2 gigabyte, the smallest one, is $30. 2 gigabytes is one game. PSP games roughly sit at about a gigabyte. And Vita is going to be more graphically intensive, so they're going to be way more than a gigabyte.
Well, the Nintendo 3DS is getting better and better.
Yes.
And they have a huge leg up. It's been out, it'll be out for almost a year when the Vita comes out. So Sony's going to have to play a little catch up, and the stuff you're hearing now, is it doesn't bode well.
Yeah, they're really going to have to make up with it, or make up for it with games, because it's just... some of this stuff is just really, really disappointing to hear. And,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, very much so.
But those dual analogs.
I know, that's the gaming revolution right there.
It
portable
really
gaming with dual analogs that you don't have to install on the side.
Yeah, those things are tantalizing.
Very much so.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, what are your final thoughts?
I have to pack. So, you know, normally at the end of every podcast, I'm waiting on something, and we already talked about my country fried steak, which I'm so stoked for. I'm actually packing because I'm headed back home for Christmas, Norm.
To the East Coast.
Very much so. And to our small little boondocks of a town.
And I'll be following you there shortly after.
And I'll be waiting with you with open arms, Norm.
That's right. And we're actually going to record an episode while we're there. It'll be a special Christmassy Level 7 podcast.
We have to make time, though, because Norm and I are, well, we're all hands, so it's going to be hard keeping us apart.
That's right. Hugs galore.
And cuddling.
And cuddling. Well, my final thought, Steven, we made it to episode 6. How much farther can we go?
It just depends on how much the gaming industry is going to give us stuff to talk about.
That's true. But if we run out of stuff to talk about in the gaming industry, we can just hop on YouTube and watch hamsters on pianos.
Yeah, and just make videos of that. Yeah, Level 7 Podcast, Topic 3. This hamster hit a wrong note. Discuss!
We could talk about Ninja Hamster.
Dude, they need to remake that game.
Oh, a re-release? That would be... I mean, people would buy it on name alone.
Exactly. I'm telling you, it'd be the arcade hit of the summer.
HD.
Yes! Oh my god!
You know, they have good depth perception now in games, so him busting through the wall, Sieg Heiling,
yeah,
it'll look real. Ooh. It's the future.
Future. See, now I'm all giddy with excitement. I'm gonna be able to sleep tonight.
Well, I'll let you get to your country fried steak. Let's wrap up this episode of the Level 7 Podcast, and until next time, take care.
Goodbye.